Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Ducati. With Jay Gutierrez, it's Tuesday, January 18th, 2022. Today on the show, we're going to talk to Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. We'll get his thoughts about the Chiefs win over the Steelers. You know, Mike is a lifelong Steelers fan, watches that team very closely. Get his thoughts on what happened on Sunday night at Arrowhead Stadium. We'll also get the weather from Jeff Penner because Gary Lezak is off for a few days in Arizona. And so Jeff Penner will be on the show with us to give us the forecast, not only for today, but give us an early forecast for Sunday night at Arrowhead Stadium when the Chiefs take on the Bills. Mark Boerichter, former Chiefs wide receiver, will be in studio with us in the 8 o'clock hour. Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com will be with us. He wrote about Jerick McKinnon. He was one of the guys that was touting Jerick McKinnon up in training camp and how good he looked. And so we'll talk to Matt about that and, of course, also preview the big showdown between the Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. Kickoff 5:30 on Sunday. And then we're going to have Kevin Ellis on the show, Navy Katie. Tell us about Kevin Ellis.
Kevin Ellis, Kansas City native, longtime professional soccer player, and plays for the Kansas City Comets now, and they got a game coming up at T-Mobile Arena for the first time in decades. The Comets will be playing back in downtown Kansas City. So, you know, we'll talk to Kevin. We can get his thoughts on the Chiefs, I'm sure, too. He's a, like I said, he's a lifelong Kansas Cityan, so I'm sure he's wrapped up in Chiefs fever right now, just like everybody else.
They're going to play Saturday night, January 22nd, against the Tacoma Stars at T-Mobile Center. It's the second time the Comets have played at Kansas City's downtown arena. They are 6-0 right now, and as Jake mentioned, they sit comfortably atop the Central Division, and so we'll talk to Kevin Ellis about that, and should be a great crowd down there at T-Mobile Center to watch the Comets. First time they played there, it's been since 2012 when they faced the Wichita Wings. That's right. And you can't go watch the Comets without listening to this song. You can also watch the movie Midnight Express to prep you for a big Saturday night, although not quite sure.
Oh, Billy!
What your reaction will be to that horrific movie about young Billy, played by Brad Davis, who was
foreign film,
who was arrested for smuggling hash.
Well, shouldn't do that.
And put into a Turkish prison.
Shouldn't do that in Turkey.
Randy Quaid has a nice role in the movie. And he went on to lose his mind later.
You know.
Later in life.
I don't know, he had it then.
And of course, the famous scene that Jake just acted out here with the line, "Oh, Billy."
Probably a lot of people know the mocking of it or the reenactment of it.
The cable guy. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't. I don't know if you really need to know the origin. But the point is,
rated R.
This song, it shouldn't have been. It should have been, you know, more
in R.
Yeah, NC-17 or something. Why we're bringing this up? Because that's the movie the song was from.
Theme song.
And somehow, then of course it was the theme song to the Midnight Express tag team.
Yes.
Managed by Jim Cornette, one of my favorite tag teams of all time. Right. They were heels, but boy, were they competitive. But that made sense because the name of the tag team was the Midnight Express. Dennis Condrey and beautiful Bobby Eaton. Mm. But then somehow, some way, someone, I don't know. Dude, boy, I'd like to get to the bottom of it.
Good marketing.
Right. Did the
now this is known for the Comet thing.
Back in the day, did the MISL commissioner or whoever, the marketing guy, was he a fan of the movie? And did he think, man, this movie reminds me of indoor soccer?
Let's not.
Or was he a fan of the tag team? Or was he, I don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, don't you wonder why, like, how? Because the movie came first.
It came first. I would guess that it was the tag team. The guy's like, hey, man, what a great theme song for this tag team.
Right.
That would be my guess. I mean, because that's kind of in the same wheelhouse, as the same era. The Comet soccer and, you know, early 80s wrestling.
Right. Do you think he knew?
I don't know.
Was it the MISL thing or was it the Comets thing?
I think it was just the Comets.
It was just
the Comets.
Maybe the Comets guy liked that movie and then liked it. He's, boy, this is, now I've seen it two places. I really got
to. They used to turn down the lights and they used to sell these weird shakers.
Yeah.
That would light up.
Midnight Express.
Tassels on them?
Yeah.
The prison drama came out in 1978. Do you know who wrote the movie? And that's trivia for you.
Scorsese.
No.
No. It's a big, it's a recognizable name, yeah.
Coppola.
A man that, I don't know why you wouldn't, a man that believes in a good conspiracy.
Oliver Stone.
Oliver Stone wrote this, yeah.
Hey, there you go.
See?
Yeah, I was unaware of the movie history of that song when I was a young kid going to the Comets games. I just knew when this song came on.
It was supposed to be that way. I was not, you know, as a young kid, I saw this movie
with my
parents, and that's not... They took me to the damn movie theater again.
I
was six.
I saw this probably when I was about eight in like 1988.
Well, that's enough. I mean, it's, you know.
I think I only saw like half of it. My mom like walked into it. Bob, what do you have this on? The boys will be fine.
Tell me if this sounds good. A good description of a movie to take your kid to. Billy Hayes was a young American student sent to a Turkish prison for trying to smuggle hashish out of the country. I'm not even going to read any of that. The film's title is prison slang for an inmate's escape attempt. So how about that?
Oh, boy.
That's as far as we'll go. A lot of things happened in that,
Can't read any of this. I remember the movie Airplane when the captain asked, you ever been in a Turkish prison, Billy?
Yeah, well, that's why.
Yeah. So anywho, this is the song.
About gladiators.
This is the song from the movie. Then it was the theme for the, and I don't know what, and then the theme for the Midnight Express NWA Tag Team Champions, and then the Comets.
Yeah.
And so again, depending on how old you are, depending on what your interests are, this song brings back strong memories, or it could hit on all three notes, like for me.
Right.
It means several things. Depending on the mood I'm in, I hear the song, I go, oh, Turkish prison. Oh, Midnight Express. Oh, Kansas City Comets. All of it. And that's a powerful, music is so powerful, the way it could bring these memories, back.
I just go in a different order.
And that's a lot, you know, right there. This song makes me think of a lot of things.
A lot of very different things.
Right.
Yes.
All, and so very confusing.
That'd but that's, like, oh, that's, Midnight that's, Express, I love that know, tag team. And then the Comets.
Right, but that's like me.
Going down to Kemper.
Know?
And then I was like, oh, thanks, Dad.
What am I always thinking about? Sports, entertainment, prison, all those things in my head, usually. And so this is a very, it heightens all my senses, the song. So the point is, Saturday you could have your senses heightened.
Undefeated Comet.
You don't need an excuse to go to, I mean, T-Mobile, that's wonderful.
Right.
So, that could be the first few questions for Kevin Ellis. Okay, Kevin, where did this song originate? What do you know about this?
Trivia time.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll know the answer to that.
Ever been in a Turkish prison?
Well, yeah, but then he'll leave knowing, and he could spread that to the rest of the organization.
To teach, learn, Nate.
Bo Hopkins played Tex, and Randy Quaid played Jimmy Booth. John Hurt played Max in the movie, just letting you know. It does bother me that I knew too much about that movie.
You said Brad Davis played Billy?
Mm-hmm.
Different Brad Davis.
There was a Brad Davis who played for Sporting, and his brother Jeff Davis played for the Comets.
I'm going to strongly suggest that it's not the same Brad Davis.
Different guy.
This Brad Davis is no longer with us, but he was Tremendous actor.
Brad Davis. And
let me tell you.
Arch nemesis of D-Money Styles.
Even before he went away, my dad was always a big fan of any movie with someone trying to escape from prison. Because then he had a guy that he could root for, you know. And then, especially afterwards now, he loves it.
Wasn't there a TV series called Prison Break a few years ago?
Yeah. You know, it was all right.
It's not bad.
It held me for a while.
I watched the first season, and then they got out of the prison, and I'm like, how can this still be Prison
Break? Right, then you got it. Like, what are we going to do now?
Hard to make multiple seasons out of that season.
Prison Break. They got out of the prison. Okay, now
and
season
back
two.
In.
Well, Ned, I should have listened to you. That game sucked last night.
Oh, man.
No good. Good for Matt Stafford.
Cardinals, good. What happened to that team?
Good for, apparently, Buddha Baker's okay.
Yeah.
Because that looks scary. He was carted off the field. If he didn't hang around for the second half of that, that was one of the best defensive backs in football. He tweeted out that he was okay. So that's, if you happen to go to bed before you got any word about his condition, because that scared the hell out of everyone watching, right? Yeah. He was taken to a local hospital where he did have movement and feeling in his extremities after he was taken off the field on the stretcher. And 4 hours ago, so about 2:30 in the morning, he tweeted out, "Thank you for all the prayers. I am doing good. Prayer hands." So that's good. So unless you were up at 2 in the morning searching Twitter, you didn't see that tweet, so let that make you feel better if you were worried about Buddha Baker. That sucked. But that game was already out of hand by that point. Do you think that was the worst interception you've seen anyone throw in a playoff game? Not time and situation, just one of the worst decisions you've ever seen, when Kyler Murray kind of sidearm underhanded the ball from his own end zone instead of taking the safety, and which resulted in a 3-yard pick six, which is the shortest pick six in playoff history. Was it three? Is that what they got credit for?
Three or four.
Whatever it was the shortest pick six in playoff history.
Immediately came to my mind was that Carson Wentz interception against the Titans earlier this year.
Yeah. Now, that was an important game.
Right.
But this is
not
this,
the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right. Not in the playoffs.
Murray went up to him on that one.
Yeah. Hold my beer.
I was watching the Manning cast.
Yeah, me too.
And The Rock.
Yep.
Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, told Dwayne Johnson, okay, what would you do here before this third down? What kind of motivational speech would you give the Cardinals? And he went, you know, your backs against the wall. This is, you know, when you're most dangerous. It said all these great things that you could put on a poster with mountains or waves behind it and hang in a cubicle somewhere, you know.
Like when you're a wounded animal.
Right.
You guys are a wounded animal right now.
Right, right. You know, Bruce Weber has a lot of poster-worthy comments about one in particular about being a wounded animal that I remember. And so that's, The Rock was going through all these motivational quotes as the ball was being snapped, and then Kyler Murray did that. So I don't think that's what The Rock was trying to motivate him to do, but that essentially ended the game. That was god-awful.
When you're a wounded animal, how do you come? You come angry? You come...
Well, you...
That's absolutely not what The Rock said, but...
I think that was about the time he started drinking liquor straight from a bottle.
Right. Yeah, The Rock took a couple of swigs of,
tequila?
Sure. Yeah, that's right.
He has his own brand.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the... one of my favorite posts every week is when The Rock has his cheat day.
Cheat day, oh, God.
And did you see the cheat day that he sent out on Sunday on Instagram?
No.
I like sushi. I mean, and sushi is one of those things, there's levels to it, you know?
Yep.
You know, you can get some pretty good sushi, but when you get high-end sushi, it's like nothing else, right? And he had this plate of the most glorious-looking sushi, and then a plate of these big giant cookies, I mean, the size of my face, and I got a big fat face, and they look so good. And then a bottle of tequila.
There you go.
And in the background, you can see he had the Chiefs game on.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Good for him.
And so, that's a good. That sounds like
he has he has a brioche French toast that he has on some of his.
He does
days.
All. Yeah.
Oh.
But I mean, not that you'd want the tequila, but that sounds like a good night with The Rock, right? The sushi and these big cookies. That
sushi
sounds
and cookies with The Rock. I mean, that,
washing it down with some tequila, watching
sign
the Chiefs.
Me up.
Yeah. I'll find that picture and show you. It looked delicious.
I mean, that's a whole food diet,
yeah.
You know, a raw diet, because then you're not cooking the sushi, as long as it's not cooked sushi.
It's about the cookies.
I can't eat the cookies.
Right. Well, you'd want to eat these cookies.
Right.
They look delicious. So he's been pushing that tequila, but yeah, he was, if you're a Cardinals fan, I wish you wish you would have been drinking that tequila watching that game last night.
Woof.
So.
And that team just, what happened to them?
That's the kind of playoff loss, or that's the kind of loss that would get a coach fired.
What happened to him? Injuries, and Hopkins is a pretty important piece to that offense.
That's true.
I mean, he's a next-level receiver. That team kind
34 of to 11, by the way.
Crapped the bed as soon as he started having his injury issues and then had to have surgery. And
Does watching him now cause anyone to rethink the opinions of what Odell Beckham Jr. could offer a team down the stretch? I'm gonna go ahead and answer for both of you guys. He's better than anyone thought he'd be down
absolutely
the stretch.
Absolutely,
right?
He yeah. is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like that version, I'm very happy with what the Chiefs have, but that version would have been very nice in Kansas City.
Yeah.
But you didn't know what you were going to get. You're rolling the dice there.
Yeah.
But you see it like, okay. Because remember what we were asking? Who the hell cares? How long has it been since he's been, you know, a factor in the NFL? This, that, and everything else. Then you say, like, oh.
Turns out Baker may be the problem.
Oh. Right? I'm not here to point fingers at who the problem is. I'm here to tell you. Oh, that's why so many teams wanted to sign him. That's why the Chiefs wanted to sign him.
That's why it took so long to decide.
Right, like, because that guy last night, for whatever you want to say, that version of that guy, I like. if you need some help offensively.
Stafford likes him, too.
Yeah. And who knows? And I feel like the Rams, this would have been an environment that he would have done well in. He wasn't gonna do that for Jacksonville, you know. He clearly wasn't gonna do that for Cleveland.
Nope.
But there's a handful of teams, you know. You see, I'm sure he would have done well in Tampa. He would have done well with, you know, Green Bay or the Chiefs or the Rams, like you saw last night. But that touchdown, because like, okay, all right, now I see what everyone was chasing. Now I remember. Is he the same guy as he was? No. But if he's your second or third option, you good.
Yeah.
You all right.
And if he's actually coming to play, you know. And
which it appears.
Which he looks like he is now.
It's a gamble, but, you know, that's why he was available so late in the season, right? It was a gamble worth taking. We will be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Here's a great thing about the wonderful listeners of our show. We got listeners, and then we got VIP listeners. And this man, he qualifies as a VIP listener. And he just sent me a message. He said, Tim Leiwicki, the GM of the Comets, introduced the song to the team. He sent me that message. And this man also said, tell Nate to watch his mouth when he's talking about the Comets.
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
Gino Schiraldi.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning, Gino. I made that second comment up. You watching your mouth. I'd like to think that Gino said that, but...
We have some former comments that listen to the show. Alan Mayer's a big-time listener, too.
I told you I met Alan Mayer at Duran Cherry's charity tailgate earlier this year.
One of my favorite people in this whole wide world.
I told him to come in here. Gino, why don't you come in here, too?
Bring
some of that pizza, Gino. I don't know if he still makes it, but I'd love to have it. How about that?
That's me and Gino Schiraldi on the field.
No wonder he has bad feelings towards
right,
you.
Right, no way he's telling you to watch your
2017.
Mouth.
2017. Oh, I was so excited when he said hi to me because, man, I was a fan. Big time. Legend.
You're listening right now, say something to him.
Gino Schiraldi, you're a legend.
Come in here,
Gino. You're a legend.
Yeah, you can come chill out in the control room with me. Any former comic can.
Well, the Y Wikis did incredible things in the world, have done incredible things in the world of sports, and what they did with the Comets and pregame presentation and all that stuff. What are you looking at?
Just you've chosen a unique shirt today, that's all. A lot could be said about that, but I'm not going to say any of it. I'll say some of it.
Say what you want.
Well, I mean, not everybody's watching on TV as I zoom into the shirt.
Well, then describe it. Well, you're a wordsmith.
It's the first-round draft pick that the Chiefs decided to take a running back with, and that's Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I like it, man. You know, it's easy to wear that if he has a big game. Right. It ain't easy to wear that right now.
That's what I decided. You know, I support the whole team. Not being a front-runner.
So do I, but right now I'm being a front-runner. I'll support Jerick McKinnon.
That reminds me of a hot take.
I don't
take.
Have a Jerick McKinnon T-shirt.
That reminds me of a hot take that I had.
Huh.
Either yesterday or the day before that I was going to bring up in an appropriate time, and now I'm bringing it up because you're brandishing that T-shirt in my face.
Right in your face. I don't have to look at it.
How
you're
about
right.
this?
You're right.
I'm brandishing
how
your
about,
face.
How about this? Tell me if this is...
Not in my face.
Tell me if this is... See, I don't think it's a controversial take. I think it's a correct take now.
I agree.
Because you've defended the draft pick, and that's been an ongoing topic for the last couple of years, right? And you've also poo-pooed on another player that's been an ongoing topic. Mecole Hardman, right?
Yeah, I've been critical of him this year.
Mecole Hardman was a better draft pick than Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I could go with that. Yeah, I could go with that.
It's not, when I first got this hot take, it was several weeks ago. But now I feel like it's even...
Yeah, the separation.
Right.
And for the record, I've never called Hardman a bad draft pick.
No, but how many people have?
Oh, a lot of people have. As I know, but I just want to, you know, you mentioned I poo-pooed him, and I haven't.
No, you poo-pooed him, but my point is, there's been a lot of people that, well, terrible draft pick, blah, 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 they could have had DK Metcalf, right? And then it became, Clyde, oh, terrible draft pick, they could have had, well, T. Higgins, Michael Pittman, Jonathan Taylor, a lot of people, right. And so, but like, even like this, we haven't really talked about it because they didn't get any points out of it. But Mecole Hardman looked pretty good returning punts.
He did.
On Sunday. He had that one big punt that should have resulted in points, but it was the tip pass that ended up being intercepted. But when he stepped up and had the 100-yard game when Tyreek Hill really couldn't go, I mean, he's not a number one or a number two, but he's been a very useful weapon the last couple of years in this offense. He just hasn't, he's not going to be DK Metcalf, right? Just like Clyde's not going to be Jonathan Taylor. So we got to let those things go. But may I can... I could fill the next hour giving you second round picks that were far worse for the Chiefs than Mecole Hardman.
Oh yeah, yeah, you know? and
he is they have gotten production out of him.
Yeah,
so
and you know we could find first round picks that have been much worse than Clyde Edwards.
Well, sure.
There. And I when you say defending the pick, I acknowledge they could have done much better than Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
It's kind of gone south since then. Yeah. It's almost been like. This season of the Chiefs, the football gods say, let us show you why you don't pick a running back in the first round. And you see Darrell Williams, undrafted free agent. Yeah. Derek Gore, undrafted free agent. Jarrett McKinnon, very minimal investment off the free agent pile. But that also says something about this offense and Andy Reid's ability to get the most out of whoever's the running back back there. But I do hope he comes back and is a nice compliment to Jerick McKinnon, but man, I hope that they keep Jerick McKinnon in this offense and keep getting him touches because I do think there is something that he brings that even Darrell Williams doesn't bring. He just has, when he's healthy, a certain explosiveness and an ability to make people miss. And if things fall the right way, he could take it to the house, you know, and that's what Clyde's game lacks. I think it's still true that he doesn't have a run of over what's his season 17 or 18 yards this year. And it just it adds a different element. Because, again, you think about when has the Chiefs' offense been most dynamic? When they had Kareem Hunt at running back, remember? That different level of playmaking ability. And when Damian Williams, playoff Damian Williams, was healthy and was in attack mode like he was on the road to the Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, just say, would they, he didn't get the MVP, but, I mean, how big of a factor was he in the Super Bowl? How big of a factor was he in that win against the Colts? And so it's not crazy to think that Jerick McKinnon could have this huge impact because the Chiefs have taken a veteran running back that's had trouble staying healthy, that really hasn't been able to deliver a full season, but they got him healthy at the right time, and he took over, and he helped get this team to a championship. We've seen that before. So this wouldn't be the big craziest thing in the world.
Not at all. Not at all. And the Chiefs offense is also, it's at its best when the other team has to account for every skilled position player on the field. And I think the Chiefs have gotten to that with the way that Hardman's playing now and the
That's
way Spangle's
right.
playing now. You've got to worry about everybody. You know, not just to mention Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And all those running backs talked about offer something.
If you're looking at that film, if you're Buffalo, you gotta be a little worried about Hardman now. You gotta be a little worried about Pringle, and you damn well have to be worried about what Jerick McKinnon did on Sunday. You're thinking about that. You're having to account for that. And that is that's good news for the Chiefs. We'll take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's give you a nice chunk of Big Red Andy Reid, who spoke to the media yesterday in anticipation of the Chiefs and Bills divisional round showdown on Sunday night at Arrowhead. Are you happy it's Sunday night? Do you wish it was Saturday?
No. I like Sunday night.
You like being the last game of the weekend?
Yeah.
You like knowing, you'll already know what happened in the other AFC game. You know if you'll be playing for the right to host the AFC championship or if you have to go on the road. You already know that.
I mean, that's all fine. The reason I like it is because at this point in my life, you know, there was a point in my life where weekends were for laying on the couch, hungover, and watching football all day. At this point in my life, weekends are about shuttling kids to every different activity under the sun and then, like, doing a bunch of house chores and things like that. I like doing that stuff while the other games are on. And then settling in and sitting down and watching the entire Chiefs game without doing anything else. And that's like Sunday night is the perfect time. I've got everything done. I'm quitting on the chores. I'm watching the game and let's go. I like that. I like Sunday evening and 5:30, like you said, is perfect. It's not going to keep me up too late. I'm going to get some ribs on the smoker probably around noon on Sunday. Get those going.
Look at the ribs on that smoker right there. Unbelievable. Looking good, buddy.
I'd rather have it on Saturday.
Why so? Nate made a compelling case.
I mean, that's his personal.
You just want it sooner.
I'm shuffling around. I think Saturday's.
Is it just because you don't have to wait another day? Hurry up!
Yeah,
give me this game.
I mean, I'd rather focus on the Chiefs on a Saturday. Saturdays are a better day for me just in general. Like Sunday, you get the Sunday scaries, and you gotta
the what.
Sunday scaries,
What's that mean?
Like when you're a kid, you had to go back to school the next day.
Oh, my son's suffering from that big time these days. He hates Sunday.
Sunday night represents now, especially after we were, I think it really turned that way with the Sopranos. That's like big TV night for me and Sue.
Primetime television.
And that's the only thing, like right now, Sunday night, good God. Like,
Is Succession done?
Well, it's been done. But this weekend, like Friday, Ozark comes back.
Ooh. Are they just dropping a bunch, or is it going to do little by little?
No, they're dropping a bunch. It's the first half of the last season, so it's going to be split up into two parts.
Ruthie's back.
She didn't know blank about blank.
No, she don't.
And so that's Friday. But then Sunday, because we've already got The Righteous Gemstones.
Mm, I need it.
And Euphoria, they came back. But they Billions got... comes back, too. That's
I'm
a lot.
I'm a season behind Billions.
But there's, there's so many. Because of, you can watch it whenever.
Right.
And so, but it does. I'd much rather watch Chiefs playoff, but then, it gets me behind on my TV. Because I'm old, and that's right. what me just, and my wife know. Do. We watch our shows.
I'd rather just for me, where I'm at, Saturday, Saturday is just, you feel free and don't have anything to do on Sunday. And I don't, but like, Sunday, I'd be watching the Chiefs, but I gotta go to work tomorrow.
We've done a very nice job scheduling our girls' basketball games to be early. We have like we have some Friday night games. We have a 10:15 tip off on Saturday. So that interferes with nothing. And also, Saturday, for some people, college basketball might be a conflict. Not for me.
Ha! Jayhawks play at 3:00 on Saturday.
Kind of like that meme, that guy. Somebody call an ambulance. But not for me. Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't.
Where the old guy's getting mugged and he clutches his chest. And the guy, the outside, he's mugging him, and he goes, "Somebody call an ambulance!" And then he pulls out a gun, but not for me, because he's got
he topsy turned.
I say that's my dad
turned it on.
Yeah,
I get it.
You've seen
it.
You haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that.
That's like my favorite thing. I love that.
What's it for?
I like that.
I don't know. What it was originally for, or something.
Yeah.
Someone tell me, the old guy pulling a gun on someone trying to jack him. I like that.
I mean, not for me.
It's my dad. Yeah. That's what I just felt like right there.
Not for me.
For some people, college basketball is a conflict. But not for me.
Yes, you got some feller showdown on Saturday at 3:00. K-State coming off a win. They got a win this weekend.
Where's it at?
Yeah, this one's in Manhattan.
Okay, got a shot there.
Do they?
Sure, I didn't say they're. I said a shot.
Oh, no.
If it was at Allen Fieldhouse, I would say no.
I think that's going to absolutely be a game.
What do you mean?
All right,
of course it's going to be a game.
Down.
Yeah, they're playing it.
You got two people, and they've got officials and everything.
Guys on each side.
Yep. Just like
not going to be a blowout.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
I do.
Do you have any fear that Kansas State can beat Kansas?
Oh, of course.
None.
He doesn't have any. Sure. So what's the big difference?
All right, Sunflower Showdown.
You guys have been watching the same teams. Nobody thought K-State would beat Texas Tech, and they did.
Right.
True.
I mean,
transitive
property, Texas Tech beat Kansas, right?
It's a done deal.
Yep.
What would you set that line at? I know it's probably not out, but what does that feel like to you?
Kansas has a game tonight, so.
Kansas plays Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Yeah. It's Lebo special. I bet Kansas will be favored by 6 points in that game. 5 points. Five or six.
The only point is, like with Nate's point there, I feel like there are more distractions and more things going on a Saturday afternoon, possibly even,
Just we've got a basketball game on Saturday.
What time?
We play at 9:45 a.m.
Oh, see, that's fine. That's good.
Yeah I'm talking late about like Saturday night. Like, right. I wouldn't want the first game of the play. Like, I wouldn't want, like, middle of Saturday. I want, like, a Saturday
You'd
night.
Like Saturday prime time.
Yeah, it's not, in the evening.
Well, it's a prime. Now, dinner. My only problem there is I like the fights. I like some fights, and that'll take me away because there's some good UFC fights on Saturday. And so I do, like, for this particular 5:30 Sunday, I feels like a sweet spot.
Yep.
Because it's not too late. Even this last game didn't get over too late because, the second half was just a
laugher.
Yeah.
Right, a walk in the park. But 5:30, I mean, this thing would be put to bed, Buffalo season will be over by 9,
Aha! Yeah. Like that.
Howdy, man. Is that too...
Yeah, it is.
I call him like I see him.
Right. I like... No, it's okay to be confident. It's okay.
That's a little cocky, though.
Well, sure. Well, sure it is.
I'm a little nervous.
That's how you that's how you act when your quarterback's Patrick Mahomes the second. Oh, I'm real nervous. Don't get it twisted.
That is awesome.
What have I told you? I think the only team in the AFC playoffs that can beat the Chiefs, Buffalo. I'm not saying they're gonna, but I mean, what What more could they do in the previous game to make you nervous?
Nothing.
They had the perfect offensive game ever, I guess, ever. The most perfect offensive performance against a top five defense of Bill Belichick. I thought they were going to win the game, but I didn't think they would score a touchdown on every single drive like they were playing a scrimmage.
That happening.
Right?
I mean, I thought it was actually going to be a good game.
Yeah, I did too.
I mean, that was just a...
But by the same token, if I'm Buffalo and I watched, you know, quarters two and three of that cheese, I'm like, oh, boy. Oh, no. That's why this is going to be an unbelievable showdown.
It is.
Fantastic. But the Chiefs are going to win. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Well, Jake, not being very receptive, I sent him highlights of a pretty good fight. He didn't want to see it.
Not during the show, man.
Well, the fight looked good, didn't it? A lot of action.
No, I'm trying to focus on running the show here.
A lot of action.
You sending me that stuff is distracting me.
Right.
I got that mid-segment left. Like, no, Steven,
10
no.
seconds of action.
Damn
what I said
it.
You.
Yeah.
Speaking of action, let's hear Andy Reid's opening comments yesterday to the media out at Arrowhead, please.
So I had a chance to go back and look at the game. You know, I didn't mention, by the way, I didn't mention Fenton to you last night with the injury. So right before the game, he came in, his back had locked up, and so we had to sit him down. That was like right before we had to turn our slip in. So, and then the fans again were phenomenal. They did a tremendous job. There was a lot of black and gold in the stands, and I thought they did a great job. So, Pittsburgh is a very well coached team. Mike has done a great job with that bunch, so we knew it'd be a big challenge. Our guys, I thought, stepped up. I was real impressed with the way our defense played. They had a great game plan, but they also executed it very well. So I just, you can go through all the positions, but I thought in particular that D line really geared up in linebackers. They played extremely well against what I think is one of the better runners in the league and running attacks in the league. and then offensively, again, I thought the offensive line did a good job. I mean, there are things they could get better at, but for the most part, they did a good job. And I thought that McColl and D-Rob, Pringle, McKinnon, guys that normally don't have a great opportunity to show, really stepped up and played well. And, it's a tribute to the protection. It's a tribute to from the offensive line. It's a tribute to the quarterback, Patrick, and how he played. I thought he had a real nice game. So, and then the special teams was solid too, which was good. It was a field position game and a defensive game, and then the offense kind of got going. And but we did start slow offensively, and our defense really played well. And then maybe the best catch of the night for one of the receivers was D-Rob on the onside kick. That was a phenomenal, phenomenal catch right there.
That was Andy Reid with his opening comments from yesterday's press conference. At around 7:30, we'll have some more comments from Andy Reid about Jerick McKinnon and about Nick Allegretti and some other topics. We'll do that at 7:30 after we talk to Mike DeCourcy. At 7 o'clock, coming up after this, on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Hey, yo. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. Mike DeCourcy is next, then Jeff Penner with the weather. Former Chiefs wide receiver Mark Boerichter, Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com, and Kevin Ellis will talk to us about the Kansas City Comets. Playing at T-Mobile Center coming up on Saturday night. And then also at 9:50, we will interview Nate's Jacket right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.